All right, we'll be in Mark chapter 6 tonight, so if you turn in your Bibles. And I was telling somebody I had a good day. I finally got caught up with everything I needed to get caught up on. So that's a good day to get caught up on the last day of the year so I can start fresh tomorrow. Probably be behind till about tomorrow afternoon, but I had mainly some schoolwork I had to get turned in, grades, and of all the things I do teaching, that's my least favorite, anything to do with paperwork. It's just something I tend to put off, but I jumped in there and I was able to get that done, so I was thankful for that. So we can start over. Our school starts back January the 8th. We start a week early this year because last year we missed one or two classes because of weather, so we was trying to think about that and going to get started back here in just a week or so. But Mark chapter 6, and I had prayed about a few different things for tonight, but I just felt like we just come back here in the book of Mark. Been preaching through the book of Mark, and I've really been enjoying it and getting a lot out of it, and I've been studying here these first six verses. This is the 27th lesson we've been in the book of Mark, and we'll just start reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 6. The Bible said, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them." And the Bible's written in mountain language. I don't know if you notice that or not, but I understand that. Now, a lot of people can't, but did you notice that? He said he laid his hands on a few sick folk. I know what that's talking about. And healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. And I want to just begin tonight. If I was going to give a title, I would take it out of verse number 1, and I would just call this His Own Country. His Own Country. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ has made His way back home. Now, it's been a few weeks since we've been in the book of Mark, and you may remember, you may not, but if you look back in chapter 5, verse number 1, you remember he's been away on a little excursion. He's went on a preaching trip. He went across the sea to the country of the Gadarenes, chapter 5, verse number 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes." Now, you come down through chapter number 5, you'll remember he met the demoniac there and cast the legion out of him, and the people, they didn't want the Lord Jesus to stay there in their country, and they bade him leave. You know, they didn't want him there because the demons went into the swine, they ran down into the sea, it hurt their business, and they didn't want anything to do with the Lord Jesus, and so they asked him to leave, and he did. Verse 17 said they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want him to stay there. So the Lord Jesus left. Verse number 21, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea." Now, in verse number 21, he's back on his home side, we might say. And then we spent a couple of weeks trying to get over to chapter number 6, we had the woman with the issue of blood is healed, and Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. Chapter 5, verse number 43, The Bible said, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. And then look at chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence. Chapter 5, verse 43. Leaving Jairus' house. We're immediately what happens after this. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. Now the Lord Jesus, he practiced what he preached. Do you remember what he told that demoniac over there in chapter 5 and verse number 19? That man, he's set free of the demons that's tormented him, and Jesus is getting ready to leave, and this man wanted to go with the Lord. But the Lord wouldn't allow him to get on the ship with him. The Lord Jesus told this man, chapter 5, verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." That man wanted to go with the Lord, and the Lord said, "No, go home, go to your friends, tell them what I've done for you." He sent him back home. So that's why I say the Lord Jesus practiced what he preached. He told that man to go home to his friends, and here we find the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes home to his friends, his family, his kin. Now, I notice this about chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Most commentaries say very little about what goes on in these six verses. Most of them, and I don't know if you, how many of you read a lot of commentaries. I've got several, but most of them just sort of skip over these six verses. They deal with chapter number 5. They've got a lot to say about chapter number 5. And then they say a little bit about the beginning of chapter 6. But mainly they start in verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth. They just sort of skip over verses 1 through 6 and do not say very much about it at all. But you know, if it was not important, it would not be here in the Word of God. There's something in there. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it is here and it is important to us. What is it that the Lord is trying to teach us in verses 1 through 6? Could it be that it is in our human nature to forget our own country? I wonder if that's why it's not commented on very much. It is our nature to forget about our own country, or to not put our own country on the same standing or priority list as other countries or as other places. We spend a whole lot more, I'd say spend, but we send, guess would be a good way to put it, a lot more going, sending other places than we do right here around where we live. When I was in the lumber business, for several years in a row, there was a church youth group. They would come through the area every summer, just about as soon as school was out. Now, they were from a Protestant church. I can't remember. It was either a Methodist or a Presbyterian, something like that. But they'd come through every summer, and they'd stop at the building supply. And I got to where I recognized them, same youth leaders and the guy that was over them. And they'd usually have about 5 or 10 young people and 3 or 4 different cars and trucks. And so they got to come in every year for several years. And, you know, I asked them, "What are you doing?" And they told me that they come up here every summer and they were on a missions trip. Now that always made me think to myself, what are they doing here on a mission trip? Surely there's other places that they could go on a mission trip. I mean, there's churches, everybody says, hey, churches on every corner around here. What does the church need to come to the mountains of North Carolina on a mission trip for? But now what they were doing, they were buying materials, building, repairing in people's homes, doing a few little things like that. And I
got to know what they were doing. They was all the time coming and going and buying things. And what I got out of that was that them coming up here, they saw a need that I didn't see a need for. And I didn't see a need because everything around us we're used to. We're just used to how things are. So our neighbor down the road, their back deck might be falling off in the yard. But it's been doing that for 10 or 15 years, so we don't pay no attention to that as being a need somewhere. But they came up here, and I don't know how they picked out where to go or whatever, but see, they came from somewhere else, and they saw a need that maybe somebody's own neighbor didn't see. That's how we are. We tend to neglect our own country because we are just used to the way it is. So we see these things every day. It is easier for us to see the poverty or the need of families and children in other places. Boy, now over in the Philippines, they're poor. They need some help. Well, down in Mexico, they're poor. They need some help. Up in West Virginia and Kentucky and these places like that, boy, they're in bad shape. They need some help. There's been people from down here going places up there to try to be a help and try to be a blessing. But do you know there's poverty and need and lost people right here in Watauga County and Avery County and Ashe County? You don't have to go far. See, we see it somewhere else, but in our own country, that's what I'm talking about, our own country. Jesus never forgot about his own country. He didn't have to go back home, but he made it a point to go back home. He's not going to forget about his own country. The Apostle Paul, God called him and sent him as the apostle to the Gentiles. But the Apostle Paul, as he went from town to town and city to city and place to place, he always, in fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And wherever he went, he always went to the Jew first. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He was the apostle chosen by God to go to the Gentiles, but he never forgot about the Jews. He always tried to go to them first. And his heart's desire, he didn't forget about them. It's not that he didn't pray for them. It's not that he didn't try to win them to God. He didn't forget about his own people, his own country. But we tend to forget, I believe, about our own country. And maybe that's why people don't tend to comment or preach very much out of this. Well, the Lord Jesus, he didn't forget about his own country. He came into his own country, and of course, his disciples followed him, is what the Bible says. What did he do in his own country? Verse number 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. There's a lesson there. And the lesson there is this: be faithful in the little things. You and I need to be careful that we are faithful in the little things. We may not think much about it, but the Lord Jesus, he's faithful in the little things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it's talking about the responsibility of teachers. And it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be faithful. The Lord Jesus never got the attitude, well, I've been off on a big preaching trip. Well, I've gone to traveling now. I've gone to foreign places. He'd been across the sea to the Gadarenes. I've been doing miracles and healing people and raising them from the dead. And I don't need to bother with going back to the synagogue. He didn't get too big for the little things. He came back to his own country, and at the first opportunity, the Sabbath day, he was faithful to the local assembly. Now, this was the synagogue, no doubt, that he'd been associated with most all of his life. This is his hometown. You and I would say it like this. This is his home church. This is where he grew up. They all knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and they knew about him, and they knew his name, and all of these things. But he comes home, and he is right back in the local assembly. He's right back in the synagogue, and he begins to teach on the Sabbath day. Success in ministry is never about numbers. That's a great pitfall. When we get to thinking we've got to have so many in order to be successful. Nazareth is a small town. Success in ministry is not about how many people. It is about people, but it is never about how many people. You get to measuring how many people, and boy, it'll dishearten you. It's not about how many people. It's not about how many professions of faith that we may see or not see. It's not about all the places that you can go and minister. It's not about having big plans. A lot of people have big plans, and I'm not against planning. But success, as God measures it, is just being faithful, being consistent at what God has called us to do. Now, I was watching a little bit about on the television this afternoon about the bowl games tomorrow. And they's interviewing the head coaches of the number one teams that's getting ready to have games tomorrow. And Nick Saban, he's the coach for Alabama. Is that right? And they asked him about it. They said, "What are you doing to get prepared?" He said, "I always tell my players to be where your feet are." And what he was telling them was, don't be thinking about playing in that championship game yet. You got to win this game first. That's what he was saying. He was saying, be where your feet are. And I thought, that's what I'd already studied about. John R. Rice, there used to be a book came from Sword of the Lord, and it said, bloom where you're planted. Be faithful where you are and what God's called you to do and what you know you're supposed to be doing. Whether it's big or whether it's small, just obey God, find His will, and do it. That's how God measures success, and that's what we ought to be interested with. And so, it doesn't matter how many. The Lord Jesus didn't say that's not enough, or I'm above this, or I've moved on to other things. He come home. He's faithful to teach there in the synagogue. I know when I moved out west to be a missionary in Idaho, and the church I took to pastor out there was a very small church. And I'd been used to preaching to a house full. Forest Grove is probably this side. And it'd be full. You know, you get 80 or 90 people in there, you're preaching to a house full. I was used to preaching to a house full. I wasn't above preaching to a lot less than that, but it does take some getting used to. I think the fewest number of people I've ever preached to is 6 or 8 people. It's a little bit different. I just prayed about that, and I said, Lord, help me that it wouldn't make a difference. Whether it's 6 people or 60 people or 100 people, and the Lord really helped me just to not worry about that. Just to preach the same to however many's there. It didn't matter, but that's not what it's all about. It's about being faithful where God has called us. And the Lord Jesus, He was faithful. He goes to the synagogue and He begins to teach unto them. And the Bible said in the middle part of verse number 2, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They were astonished at his teaching, at the wisdom of his words, and the mighty works of his hands. That word astonished there, it means they were amazed. They were astounded. And that lets me know that the Lord Jesus, He tried just as fervently with them as He had anywhere else He went. He didn't hold back. I mean, what He preached to them, what He taught to them, it astounded them. They were amazed at the teaching and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They ask among themselves, look what it says, saying, or where it says saying there, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? There was no argument among the people concerning the wisdom of his words and the work of his hands. That amazed them. Where'd he get this wisdom from? He didn't go to rabbi school. He's just one of us. You notice there, they did not argue about what he said or what he did. What bothered them is what we find down in verse number 3. What bothered them is who he was. Who was he? Verse number 3, according to them, they said, is not this the carpenter? That's where you hear people talk about the Lord Jesus was a carpenter. That's where that comes from. That's what they said. It's not this. That's the carpenter. Teaching. Doing all these miracles. But that, then you read on. They knew the carpenter. They said, that's the son of Mary. And I believe Joseph had already passed away at this time. He's not mentioned. I wouldn't argue with anybody, but Joseph is not mentioned, but all of his family. Joseph and Mary had children together after the birth of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus had stepbrothers and stepsisters. The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon are not his sisters here with us. The problem was who he was. The problem was that they'd seen Jesus as a little kid. They'd seen him playing with his brothers and sisters out there. The problem was that they knew exactly who he was, or they thought that he did. Well, he's the carpenter. It's Mary's son. And the Bible said in the last part of verse number 3, and they were offended at him. Now, that offended there, it means to stumble, to trip up, to trip over something. And it does not necessarily mean that they were insulted at his preaching. I don't believe that's what it's talking about. Now, when we use the word offended, we think that somebody's been insulted or they've taken something wrong, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. They could not get over knowing him in order to really know him, who he was. But when they heard him and when they seen him, all they could see was the carpenter. All they could see was Mary's son. All they could see was he's a member of this family. And it offended them. They couldn't get over that. That they knew him personally. There's an old saying that says an expert is an ordinary fellow from another town. Isn't that how it is? We can take a stranger's advice, but her neighbor across the road, he don't know what he's talking about. But that fellow that you'll listen to their advice, you may not know. He may be the biggest knucklehead in the county. Just because he's from somewhere else, we think, well, there's something. But here, the Lord Jesus, he's a local. They were offended at that. They couldn't get over that. Now we come to verse 4. Verse 4 is the most well-known verse out of these 6 verses. You've heard this before. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Now this is not saying that ministry at home is discouraged or impossible. But I've heard it used in that fashion. Well, preacher just needs to go on down the road. Prophet's not without honor except in his own country. Nobody's going to listen to him. Go somewhere else. But that's not what it's saying. It's not saying don't go home. Because Jesus told that demoniac in chapter 5 that very thing, that he was supposed to go home. And then the Lord Jesus, I suppose he could have gone anywhere he wanted to, but when he came back from the Gadarene, the country of the Gadarenes, he came back home. It's not saying don't go home. A lot of people, they won't go anywhere but home, but it's not saying not to go home. I have had the opportunity to minister, pastor churches at home and away. And I'll tell you this, there's no easy place to minister. Everywhere you go is going to have its own unique problems. You got to, Kim likes me to say obstacles. You got hurdles to overcome if everybody knows you. And you've got things to overcome if you go somewhere and nobody knows you. It's just a different set of things you have to get over, you have to work through. And so different places have different challenges. Mountain people are unique. Now, I love mountain people. I are one. But you know what? We're a little odd. Mountain people are odd. I was talking with a nurse the other day. And she's from up north somewhere. It's all the same to me. Just she's from up there somewhere. She said that very thing. She said mountain people are different. She'd been here a long time. She had noticed that. I said, I know that. I'm different. It's not to say there's anything wrong with us. It's something wrong with everybody else. That's what the problem is. If everybody's like us, we'd all get along a whole lot better. But bless their hearts. That's what we say about people. It's not from here. But mountain people are unique. And they tend to be wary of outsiders. To not trust somebody that comes in from other areas. Do you know most of the good, established, old-fashioned churches still standing for the truth and the right in our area are pastored by pastors that have been born and raised in the mountains. You think about that. I'm just saying that is a matter of fact. And if you really study that out, these mountains were populated by Scots-Irish people. And that's how they were. They were leery of outside influence. But if mountain people ever let you in on the inside, you're in for life. They'll love you. They'll make you one of their own. That is a Scots-Irish characteristic that secular writers I've seen and read where they have written about that very thing about mountain people. Mountain people are different. But the Lord Jesus had his own people that he was trying to minister to. And what he's saying here in verse number 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. It's an honorable thing to be a prophet. But, he said, not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. I've preached all over the place. I've preached in different countries. I've preached in Alaska. I've preached in Arizona. I've preached in Colorado. I pastored in Idaho. I've preached in Georgia. I've preached in I don't know how many different states. And I'll never forget the first time somebody came up to me and they said, and usually it's young people, preacher, will you sign my Bible? That's a humbling thing. That's an honoring thing. Well, you think about that. I'm going to put my name in some little kid's Bible. They're going to remember me in 20 or 30 years. They're going to look back. Boy, you better live what you preach. Preacher, you right. I've had adults come up to me. Preacher, you sign my Bible, put a Bible verse in there. That's a humbling thing. Had a group of young people when I preached up in Alaska lined up after I'd preached, come down the aisle. Preacher, you sign my Bible. But you know what? Nobody in my family's ever asked me to sign their Bible. And come think of it, none of you've ever asked me to sign your Bible that I can remember. That's this preacher win. If he dies, we'll get another one. There's preachers everywhere. That's what the Lord's saying. That's what he's saying there in verse number 4. Somebody that you're around all the time, you don't pay much attention to it. I've lived here my whole life. I've never went out to Blowing Rock and the Blowing Rock. Went out there and what'd they say? Threw an Indian maid off the rock and the wind blowed her back on. That's pretty interesting. I've never went and seen that. Isn't that what they say? I don't know. I lived here all my life. So I'm used to it. And it doesn't mean as much to me as it would somebody that would come from somewhere else. And they go out there and pay money to go out there and look off that rock. I can think of 10 other rocks in the county you can go and look off of and it won't cost you nothing. And if you throw anybody off in them rocks, it's not going to blow them back on the top. See, it don't mean as much to us. And so that's what the Lord Jesus is just saying here in verse number 4. A prophet in his own country just doesn't mean as much to his what? In verse number 4, among his own kin. Or his own country and among his own kin, that's his family. And in his own house, just don't mean as much. They don't recognize him for who he is. Then verse number 5, the Bible says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. His ministry there in his own country was hindered because of faithlessness. They had no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody had a little bit. He laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them, but there was no mighty work there. They didn't even expect anything extraordinary. They knew who he was. He's a carpenter. That's Mary's son. But don't you think that's how we are most of the time? We just get used to the same things, the same services, the same types of services. 2 Sundays ago, wasn't that a wonderful service how the Lord met with us? It's wonderful. It could be like that all the time, but it's not. It's not the Lord's fault. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Lord meets with us and I have good liberty. I thank the Lord for that. I have had good liberty tonight. I'll go home and say it's good to be in the Lord's house. But I wonder when we get to heaven if we'll find out we've missed out on some things just because we're just so used to routine. Going through the motions and we're not even expecting anything. We're not even coming in faith that God would do anything among us. And that's how they were in verse number 4. In verse number 6, the Bible said, and he marveled because of their unbelief. There's 2 times in the Bible that we find the Lord Jesus marveled. He marveled here because of their unbelief. And he marveled in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10, when the centurion came to him. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The centurion was a Gentile. The people that should have believed him didn't. That was the Jews. They had the book. They had the prophecies. They had the prophets. They should have had great faith. The Gentiles were on the outside looking in. They had really no reason to believe him. But here the centurion, he has all faith in the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord marveled at the Jews' unbelief. And he marveled at the faith of the centurion's belief that he had. Did you notice he said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. That was his own people, his own country. And here comes a Gentile and believes and has faith. How interesting that is. Well, what did he do? He marveled because of their unbelief. Well, if anybody ought to believe God can, we should, because we have seen God answer some prayers. And when the Lord does, it ought to just It ought to just encourage us that much more to pray that much harder. God's able. I hope He doesn't marvel at our unbelief. I want to be like that centurion, have great faith in the Lord. But he marveled because of their unbelief. And last of all, what did the Lord Jesus do? Well, He went round about the villages teaching. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Ministry everywhere has its own difficulties. But it might be a little more difficult at home. Is it not harder to witness to your own family than it is a complete stranger? Sure it is. Is it not easier to send Brother Dewey up to Massachusetts or somewhere like that to witness to the Spanish people? And, well, there's a bunch of them up there. Let's send them up there. Who's going to witness to Jorge down at the Mexican restaurant? Don't give up. Don't quit just because it's hard. It's easy for me to have faith God can do something somewhere else, but right here, the Lord Jesus didn't quit. He didn't give up. He didn't stop going. There's a lesson in that. And He went round about the villages teaching. Not just a few here and there. And He kept going and He kept going and He was faithful. What a lesson that is. Galatians 6:9 says, "And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." That means if we don't quit, if we don't give up. But our own country, we are very much for missions, missionaries, great needs, many other places. But let's let this remind us, this be a reminder from the Lord Jesus, not to forget our own country. Right here, right down to grocery store, down around Walmart, and where you go to school and where you go to work. That's a mission field right there. That's just our own country. It's our own country. Now next week He's going to get some help. And He's going to send out the 12 and the disciples and all that. But there's a great, great lesson in those six verses. I've never heard that preached on, and I've never preached on it, but I really enjoyed studying it out. So we'll close there tonight. And I appreciate your good attention this evening and hope you got something out of it. Let's really be much in prayer for our services on Sunday, that the Lord would meet with us when we come back together. And I will say how much I appreciate Brother Dewey preaching Sunday night. I got a blessing out of that. That's really good. Good.